Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Will not be having a fall football season. We talked with Michael Schill, the Oregon president and the CEO group's chairperson, the Pac-12 CEO group's chairperson, earlier in the program. If you missed that, grab a podcast of that. You should be subscribed to the podcast anyway, but if you missed it, grab the podcast. Oregon State fans, curious to know what Oregon State's going to be doing with their season tickets, the renewals, the donations, all of that. How will Oregon State pivot in this? I want to bring on Scott Barnes. He's the athletic director at Oregon State, and he joins us now, 24 hours later. How are you doing? Where's your focus?
Well, John, I'm a student athlete, obviously, and in fact, after the announcement, spent all day yesterday Zooming with each of our fall sports teams and talking to the student athletes directly and the coaches, listening to student athletes' concerns and answering questions the best we could for today. So that certainly is our primary focus.
The decision as this unfolded, how much input did the ADs have with the CEO group? How much were you talking with presidents? And you've got a new president on the scene in F. King Alexander. What was that dialogue like?
Constant, along with obviously the coaches, in particular football, and then a dialogue with our medical advisory group. That group's recommendation was a driver in this for our presidents and chancellors. I think the best way, John, to describe the communication was consistent with King, with each other in terms of ADs, with the medical group, consistent and almost daily.
The idea of playing in the spring, how viable is that? Or is this just we're punting to the spring, let's wait and see? How much did you talk about the viability of an actual spring season?
Yeah, Jonathan, that question, we were so focused on finding a way for the fall. Although we had teed up spring as an option, as many have, devil's in the details, and we haven't got there. It comes with significant logistical challenges. At the same time, we think we have an opportunity to try to build that airplane as it leaves the runway here and dig into it. And we're starting in earnest today. We'll reenact our football planning scenario group, our Olympic sports planning group, and see what we can fit in, what makes sense to try to do this in the spring and January. And again, this is a postponement. This isn't cancellation. So we're going to do everything we can to play. Obviously, at the end, who's calling the shots? The virus is calling the shots, right?
Yeah.
So we'll have to monitor that daily.
Scott Barnes with us, Oregon State's athletic director. You sent a note out yesterday to your fan base, to your donors and your season ticket holders. You gave them some options for what they want to do with their season tickets. How important is it for you guys to connect with that donor base, those ticket holders, and keep them engaged while we've got a big question mark with the virus going on?
Yeah, John, it's paramount importance, and we're trying to do that as much as we can. We've connected with several of our fans via Zoom with particular sports programs and the head coaches, and we'll continue to reach out to them. We miss them dearly. And I know they miss being here. They miss connecting and watching our program. So there's an appetite there, and we want to continue to connect with them in every conceivable way we can. They're extremely important now more than ever as we think about the budget ramifications of what will happen here and And, you know, whatever we do in the spring, it won't be traditional, obviously. So continued challenges there. So we just continue to ask for their support. We appreciate all they've done, their investment in our student-athletes and our future leaders. And we're so proud of our student-athletes, and I know our donors are as well.
Scott, some other conferences, some other major conferences have not postponed or canceled. They continue to say they're going to play. Was there any discussion about just, hey, let's punt here, let's push back 3 weeks, or what thinking went into saying, look, it's not worth trying to do this and force this?
Yeah, John, that's the question, and yes, I mean, we, you know, that timetable for ramp up, we obviously came out with a schedule that started on the 26th with some flexibility, but you know, as more information came in and our medical advisors made the recommendation to the CEOs, it just became apparent that it wasn't going to happen. And so that the safest path forward for our student athletes was to wait, to pause, and again, not to cancel, but to postpone. So, you know, you think about the high prevalence rate across the Pac-12 and some of the increased cardiac concerns that our medical advisors discuss, and lack of availability, even of point of care testing, right, and quick turnaround testing, all those things, you know, played a part in this to say, all right, we're going to pause. And as you know, that vote was unanimous by our president and CEO. So we support that. We believe it is the right decision for our student athletes, and now we plan accordingly.
Is there any possibility, because we're seeing today Nebraska, Ohio State both coming out and saying they're exploring options where maybe they could play one-off games and fulfill some TV contracts. Is there any talk about that in the Pac-12, or is it so unified that, you know, hey, we're all punting to the spring and we're gearing up for the spring?
Non-starter, John, and yes, we're unified in our path forward, and that's to construct the most feasible schedule we can in the windows we have in spring.
Scott Barnes is with us, Oregon State's Director of Athletics. You know, we've seen stories recently about the availability of a potential loan that would help you sort of bridge to next year. Is a loan on the table for Oregon State Athletics, or is it all incumbent upon, hey, how many season ticket holders continue to buy in and invest in the future?
You know, John, all that has to play a part, but I think the key here is having options. And so I'm certainly the Pac-12 loan program that has been presented. I think we all as members appreciate that as an option. Whether we actually use it or not, yet to be determined, but it's a viable option if needed, and we'll continue to look at this and make those determinations here shortly.
The rest of the athletic department, and I think this goes without saying, we've talked about it on this show, that football and men's basketball generally subsidize most athletic departments. There is a shared revenue that happens because funding from football helps with your other non-revenue producing sports. How does this football being moved to the spring or maybe not played at all affect those non-revenue producing sports? Do you see cuts on the horizons like we've seen at Stanford, or are you willing to draw a line in the sand and say, look, we're going to find a way to keep everything that we have?
Yeah, John, and as you can imagine, that question arises often of late because of what has happened. Just a reminder, you know, at this level, at the Group of Five level, your minimum sports sponsorship is 16. Well, we have 16 plus one, and the plus one is men's crew. That's not a NCAA national championship sport. So we're at the minimum right now, and so that is not on the table. You know, you think about the huge chunks, and you think about our mission, and that's providing those opportunities, and you think about the huge chunks you need to make the ground up, you know, that option just isn't on the table for us right now. Now, that said, you know that we've taken extreme measures as it relates to freezing positions, layoffs, non-renewals, reduction in salary, and the like to get to where we can. And we're we're maybe not at the bone, but there's not a lot of meat left on the bone to do much more.
I'm trying to figure out revenue-wise how much you had budgeted for football in 2020. I'm looking at maybe 50 to 60 million in that range. Am I in the right range there? But if I really crunch down the numbers, what are we talking about for fall football?
Yeah, John, you're in the absolute neighborhood, and that would be true. I think we all have a $50 million plus problem, and it goes up from there depending on any number of factors, and that's direct and indirect revenue. And as an example, some of those indirect revenues come via multimedia rights, where maybe 80% of the value of that multimedia rights is football related. So you peel that off, and you do that exercise throughout. But that is I think any of us start at that 50 and go up.
The decision here to move to the spring or maybe not play at all, I mean, it comes with another set of problems. Is there any concern about potentially playing 22 or 24 games in what would amount to like a 9-month period if you started in March or as late as March?
Yeah, great concern, especially if you extend that out into that period. So I think, you think about that, and you've got to think in terms of potentially a truncated season, maybe even more than what we've talked about, which is sort of a 10-game season now. And I think, there are a lot of pieces to that. One is, how soon can you start? Is it January 1? That changes the dynamic a bit. But also, the later you start, likely just logically tell you maybe you're thinking about fewer games. You would hate to have to modify, if you could get back on track, and we will, you'd hate to modify 21.
Scott Barnes with us, Oregon State Athletic Director. I really appreciate you making the time for us because I think it's important. I think the Beaver fans want to hear from you. I think Pac-12 fans want to hear from you about the decision-making and everything, so I appreciate that. Scott, for you personally, you got to have some tough discussions with athletes and with coaches. What was Jonathan Smith's reaction as you delivered that news to him?
It's not something that just hit him. We talked multiple times a day. And so he was, warmed up to the understanding of it. And I was really proud of Jonathan and his leadership and saying, all right, if that's the case, how do we make this work? And then the other coaches around the Pac-12, ultimately we were unified in that decision. Hard decision. Gut-wrenching for our student athletes, but the unifying factor, it was gratifying to see Jonathan leading the way just a problem solver, understands the issue. Now let's work together to figure out the next step.
I think everybody's in chaos right now, and I think it's really interesting. It really does, I think, level the playing field in some respects, and I'm looking at programs like Oregon State. I'm looking at maybe a UCLA that was very young a year ago and was looking at struggling, and I'm thinking, could the silver lining of all the chaos be that it's a little bit of an equalizer, and that some programs that are trying to rebuild suddenly make up ground here? How does a program make up ground? Are you able to get the players continue to work out? Will their services be available? What can a scholarship football player expect in the next 3 to 6 months?
Yeah, and as you can imagine, one of the top questions from our student athletes yesterday when I was on the line with all the sports, what they can expect is typically what we call the care hours. They'll have a maximum number of hours available, voluntary. If student athletes want to leave because they're concerned about COVID, then we will honor that scholarship leaving. And then there's a ramp up, right? As we look at this, and we'll continue to look in, at some point, you're ramping up to start on January 1, so that would all change. You'd get back into contact activity from what you're doing now. Right now, football is in walkthroughs and physical training, no contact, meetings with coaches, film review. They're doing some of that. But ultimately, you want to ramp back up. So right now, as I told all student athletes yesterday, status quo and what they're doing, which is non-contact workouts, is working beautifully. Our medical team, trainers, facility staff have done a wonderful job of putting protocol in place and executing that to the point of we've only had 3 positive tests in the hundreds of tests that we've taking this one.
What happens with the basketball season? You've got a men's program and a women's program that are gearing up for what would have been an October, November start. What happens? Is basketball, can we assume basketball starting in the spring as well, or is that to be determined?
Yeah, again, to be determined. I mean, in a perfect world, we would start January 1. And even with that, you'd have to start to think about somewhat of a truncated season. It's really important when you think about the NCAA tournament to have a bit of a non-conference resume, particularly some marquee games. So, you know, I think one of the things that we'll want to put on the table as we think about the Men's Basketball Oversight Committee and the Basketball Committee and conversation there is there merit to potentially moving the tournament back a bit mm-hmm. to help fit some non-conference competition in. As you know, when you're building that resume, those cross-regional rivalries or games that you can play against other Power 5 teams out of your league are really important to that resume. So those things are yet to be determined, and we're going to – in fact, I'm going to jump on a men's basketball call now with our Pac-12 men's basketball coaches, and we're going to start to scenario plan today.
Scott Barnes, thank you. Appreciate you. Thank you for making time.
Absolutely. Thanks, John. Talk to you again soon.
There it is, Scott Barnes, the Oregon State Athletic Director. Look, I wanted Barnes on the show. I wanted Oregon State to have a presence on today's show because we've got Michael Schill, who was earlier in the program. Two great interviews. I want to open it up to you now. What did you hear, both from Michael Schill and from Scott Barnes, that you want to kick around? Your questions, my answers. Let's kick it around. 503-417-7575. You got the bald-faced truth statewide. Podcast for this radio show is available to you wherever you get a podcast. I encourage you to subscribe. If you got an Apple iPhone, it's really easy. Just go to the podcast app and click on the Purple Podcast app and then search for The Bald Faced Truth with John Canzano. It'll pop up. You hit subscribe and boom, Michael Schill's interview today on your phone. Boom, Scott Barnes' interview today on your phone. Boom, tomorrow, Rob Mullins, Oregon Athletic Director, on your phone, almost in real time. Like, Alabama Adriana is freaky fast. She's like Jimmy Johns when it comes to podcasting. Tomorrow, also, Nick Ford, University of Utah offensive lineman, on the show. All those podcasts plus the show all will appear magically on your phone. Alabama Adriana basically tiptoes in when you're not looking and puts it on your phone. That's essentially what's going on here. How are you so freaky fast turning around the podcast? The Michael Schill interview, I went to look and I thought, well, it'll be 10 or 15 or 20 minutes before she gets it. I looked, boom, it's already there. Like, how are you so fast?
I'm like the podcasting tooth fairy.
No kidding.
Yeah, I think my secret is to just have everything ready to go before the interview is even over. Like, I have the descriptions and everything written out. I pay attention during the interviews. So when it's ready to go, I have the format set up and everything, and I just edit and plug it in and upload.
Tremendous. It's fast. By the way, I've been getting a lot of emails about you and Anna. Do you think you and Anna could host a show together?
I definitely think we could. It depends on the content.
It's really interesting because a lot of listeners keep saying to me, how come I would like to hear Alabama Adriana and Anna host an hour after the BFT radio show? And Anna's like, I guess it would be easy. I could just stay in the studio and you could leave, which I think a lot of listeners probably would support. But she also said, I don't know, like, if either one of us would really want to drive the show. Like, she says, I don't, you know, would we want to drive the show? Would you be interested in driving that show? Or just would you like someone else to drive it?
Well, I don't think anyone would need to drive it. I think it would kind of be a tag team sort of deal, but yeah, that's in like an ideal world.
Yep. I think it's interesting. We'll talk more about that. Judah, would you listen to that show?
Oh, of course. Yeah, that's some on-demand content right there.
I don't know. Anna spent a bunch of time this morning trying to figure out whether Megan Fox got plastic surgery. The show could turn into that. That could be an hour of that.
That's a download right there.
All right, we'll talk about that later in the show. You got the bald-faced truth. I want you to leave it here.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the bald-faced truth.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.